Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and it's that time of month again. It is our best friend, Dr. Marty Greer, and she's joining us to talk about postpartum complications. You know, everybody has this dream of their dam just pre-whelping, six beautiful puppies, bam, 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 in an hour, and everything's all sunshine and roses and smells like daisies. And here to tell you that's just not real.
Doesn't always. Sometimes it is.
No,
sometimes
they deliver them all. I've never experienced it. I think that is a myth, and I am pretty sure that it was written by the Grimm's fairy tale people.
Oh, come on. Some of them do really well. But yeah, some of them don't. So we'll just go through the complications so that if one of these happens to you, you are better prepared. How's that?
I think that is a fantastic idea. And if you're someone like me who has experienced all of them at one point or another or at the same time, just know we feel your pain.
Right.
Happy New Year from everyone at Trupanion. As breeders, the start of a new year is the perfect time to set resolutions that prioritize what matters most, your puppies and their future. Unexpected accidents and illnesses can happen at any time, but you can ensure your litters and their new families are prepared for whatever comes their way with Trupanion's exclusive 30-day go-home offer. By joining Trupanion's free breeder support program, you can send your puppies home with their own special go-home offer, giving them immediate medical insurance coverage and protecting them from the moment they leave your care. This year, resolve to give yourself and your puppy buyers the ultimate gift of peace of mind as a member of Trupanion's breeder support program. Just stop by the Pure Dog Talk website, puredogtalk.com, go to the partners page, and click the link there. That will let you sign up today and make 2026 the year of happy, healthy pups. Get ready to join us in beautiful Austin, Texas, March 27 to 29 for Pure Dog Talk's Pedigrees to Pups Seminar Weekend with your host, yours truly, teaming up with Dr. Marty Greer. Marty and I have both presented at AKC's Breeder Symposiums and to national audiences around the country. This joint seminar combines a discussion of pedigrees and building a breeding program with down-to-earth veterinary tips on healthy whelping and raising a new litter. We have purposely built a breeding theory and breeding hands-on seminar that creates an all-inclusive understanding of both the art and science of dog breeding. Our goal is full-circle mentoring experience in a small group format that creates community and creates opportunities for conversation and connection. Topics cover everything from the foundation niche, basic health and structure, reading pedigrees, to progesterone timing, semen evaluation, neonates, and a whole lot more. So check out the events tab at puredogtalk.com for more information.
Here we go.
Okay, here we go. What do we got?
Well, I think we should probably start with puppy count x-rays and retained puppies because that's a big and early concern.
Yeah.
So puppy count x-rays, I think, are absolutely essential if you're not planning a C-section. If you have a French bulldog and you're planning on doing a C-section, so be it. I don't think you need a count. But if you think that you're just going to have her squat in the whelping box and shoot out 14 puppies in 2 hours, I think we need to have a little better look at this. So X-rays are absolutely essential to getting a good puppy count X-ray. And there's some tips to this because a lot of people are like, well, my vet never can count them right. Or my least favorite thing on Facebook is, here's my
how
puppy.
Many?
How many? So first of all, they usually put them on backwards because the head should always, always, always go to the left. Always. When you read an X-ray, I can't even look at an X-ray if the head's pointing to the right. So start with that. And then there's some things that you can do as the owner of the dog to improve the quality of the X-ray. One is to go to a vet that uses digital X-rays and a grid on their X-ray machine. Secondly, you want to take your bitch in without breakfast that morning. So if they make an appointment in the afternoon, that's a long time for her to go without eating. But having food in the stomach and stool in the colon are really impediments to getting a good puppy count X-ray. So don't feed her in the morning if you have an appointment. Don't feed her until your afternoon appointment. If you have it in the afternoon, take a bowl of food. So as soon as she gets her X-ray, you can feed her. And then take her out. Get there 15 or 20 minutes before your appointment. Take her out. Let her have a stool. Empty out her colon. And if she won't go, we all know the how to match your dog trick where you actually put a paper match, not a wooden match, into her rectum. Walk her around. And 90% of the dogs after 90 seconds with a match in their hiney will have a stool. So my staff is trained to the point that if they take the first X-ray and they see that there's a lot of stool in the colon, they don't even take the second X-ray because we always take two. They know better than to take the second X-ray until they put a match in the dog and take her outside. Now in January, they'll send them out with the owner. In June, they usually take them outside themselves because it's nice out. But in January, they're like, here's the leash. Have a nice time walking. So getting the stool out of the colon, getting an X-ray without breakfast makes a world of difference. And we take two views. We always take with the right side down and the left side down. Now, I don't care if you do right first or left first, but it should be both sides down. I never take them with them on their back because it's really not a very effective way to count puppies. But I do right side and left side down. And if you take them sequentially, then you can get a really good count. If you get above 12 puppies, I'm going to cut your vet some slack and say, yeah, they're pretty hard to read when you get that many. But if you have more than nine, you're probably having a scheduled C-section. Anyway, so I don't worry so much. But a lot of times we'll have two puppies that are superimposed on top of each other when we take one view. And then when we rotate them to the other side, the one puppy will slip just far enough forward that we'll get a better X-ray count. But we can count 15 and 16 puppies pretty accurately. When you put them on Facebook, usually they're facing the wrong way. Usually they're not good X-rays to start with. And usually because we look at our X-rays as veterinarians in DICOM, but it's too high a resolution for Facebook to publish. They downgrade it to a JPEG image. The X-rays are fuzzy and hard to read. And if you do them after day 55, but before she goes into labor, because I don't want to see a puppy popping out under her tail at the X-ray, like, whoa, we should probably resuscitate this kid. It's heading out. So get in between day 55 and day 60 so that you get a good quality X-ray. If it's earlier than that, the X-ray is really faint and hard to read. So those are some of my key points for getting a correct count. And if you have nine puppies and the X-ray said 10, don't go to bed. Don't assume she's done. I don't care if she eats. I don't care if she seems like she's settled in. She's not done. So if you're not sure, go back in when she's done or you think she's done, get another X-ray. And if there's still puppies there, find that out the day she whelps or the day after she whelps, not 4 days later when she's got a temp of 104 and a half and she's desperately sick and she's going to lose her life and lose the rest of the puppies because she can't be that sick and survive. So do not leave a retained puppy behind. Just don't do it. And when you get to that point, a salvaged C-section is just about your only hope. By that point, oxytocin's not going to work. By that point, nothing else is going to work. So be prepared for all those things to happen. So get your puppy count X-ray. If your vet will send home oxytocin and injectable calcium, great. If they won't get the oral calcium, the oral cal gel that Revival carries is more palatable and more effective than the other calcium oral products on the market. And the gel works faster than the tablets or than Tums. Don't rely on Tums. Don't rely on the powder. Don't rely on human calcium supplements. Get the gel and get it into the bitch as soon as she starts labor. And she gets a dose for every puppy that's born. A puppy's born, she gets calcium and a scoop of ice cream. The ice cream gives her energy, gives her fluid. The calcium gives her calcium. Don't kid yourself. There's not enough calcium in ice cream to cut it. We eat ice cream at night with a scoop of, you know, and we're like, oh, I'm getting my calcium. No, you're not.
You're getting your sugar pill.
You are. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not going to give enough calcium to the bitch. So you definitely need to have some calcium gel to make this effective. And I'll tell you, it makes a world of difference. My last bitch had 3 puppies in 45 minutes because of the calcium gel. Just boom, boom, boom. Like, choom, they were flying out. It's all good.
Okay. So make sure you do not have a retained puppy or a retained placenta.
Right. Placentas give us a lot less trouble than puppies. A retained puppy is going to be a fatal event for a bitch if you don't get it out. A retained placenta can make them sick, but not very often. There's a few breeds that we see more of it in, like Bassets. They're kind of lazy whelpers. They tend to have retained placentas at the C-section. Most of the time, the placentas are removed surgically at the C-section. But a retained placenta, usually they don't get very sick. You can see them on ultrasound. So if you have a female that comes in after she's had puppies and she's running a fever, it's going to be one of 4 things. It's going to be a retained puppy, which won't happen if you know your count, a retained placenta, mastitis, an infection in the mammary glands, or anything else that can make a bitch run a fever like Lyme disease or anything else that can make her sick. So you have to assume that it's one of those things if she has a fever. But a retained placenta shows up pretty easily on ultrasound. If your vet has an ultrasound machine, you can see it. It looks sort of like an amoeba. There's all these little spindly things that stick out. Mm-hmm. And if she has a retained placenta and it's fairly recent after she whelps, oxytocin will probably still help the uterus to contract. But typically after about 2 days, it's not going to be effective. So then we'll reach for a prostaglandin to help with that and antibiotics. I have never taken a bitch to surgery to take out a retained placenta. I certainly have to take out a retained puppy. So if you're trying to avoid surgery, get your puppy count, get your x-ray, know what's going on.
Excellent. Okay. So we are now, we've gotten our puppies out. We've got our puppy, all the puppies, all the placentas. What is the next like trauma? I can tell aggression. You mine, but tell us the medical version.
Yeah. Aggression toward puppies because of low calcium can be a pretty frequent complication. So low calcium can cause them to be aggressive. And the things we do to prevent that are going to be giving calcium, the calcium gel or the tablets. Mm-hmm. I also put on the Adapto collar, the collar for stress, like thunderstorm stress and that kind of thing. The collar is actually made from the pheromone that bitches secrete in their mammary glands and in their placental fluids. So that can help the bitches to be better mothers. So if you're scheduling a C-section or you have a new bitch that's never had a litter before, I put the collar on 3 days before she has her puppies. And if she has a C-section, ask your vet to save some of the placental fluid. I have a sterile bowl in my surgery pack, and I always save placental fluid and send it home with the bitch, because once the puppies leave the veterinary clinic, you're going to have to eat, take a shower, you know, go to the grocery store, things like that. So the fluid really improves her maternal skills. I've had bitches go home after a C-section of my own, and they'll sit on one side of the whelping box and look across the whelping box like, well, those are your idea. You bred me. You take care of them. I'm not doing it, because they smell like laundry soap. If you put the placental fluid on them, and this stuff is free, I mean, it comes out of the bitch. It doesn't have preservatives in it, so refrigerate it. But I just put it in a little squirt bottle and send it home with clients. And as soon as you put that on the little puppy's head and the little puppy's rear, it's like a light bulb goes on in the bitch's head. And she's like, oh, wait, oh, there's her mind. You didn't tell me. I thought they belonged to Tide, Gain, and Oxidol. So you put the placental fluid on, and it truly improves the ability of that bitch to identify those puppies as her own.
And I think also, this is lived experience, bitches take a minute when they come home with their puppies to come out all the way of the anesthesia, even like a full 24 hours. And so they may lay there and kind of lull you into thinking everything's fine because they're still kind of whacked out. And all of a sudden they're going to wake up on day 2 or day 3 and be like, da hell is this?
Exactly. And putting the bitches on post-op pain medication makes a world of difference as well. I never use tramadol, trazodone, anything that's going to affect their mental state, because I don't want them to do that. I don't want them to be in la-la land. Mm-hmm. But I send them home with either Medicam, meloxicam, or Rimadyl carprofen. And honestly, they are much better mothers. They're less painful. They'll lay for their puppies better. They'll eat better. They'll lactate better. Mm-hmm. So ask your vet for post-op pain medication. We've been using Medicam for 25 plus years. Mm-hmm. On every C-section that we do, and I do hundreds of them a year. So I'm going to tell you that it does not lead to any health problems in the puppies, because I've seen now probably 3 generations plus of full life expectancy of dogs go through and not have any kidney, liver, anything else. There's not enough that goes through the milk to cause a problem with the puppies. So please ask your vet for post-op pain medication. It is really un-okay to go home with a bitch that's painful and your vet has an appropriately prescribed medication for that.
Well, and I think that's a good segue into the next conversation, which is talking about, so the bitch wants to eat her puppies. That's one conversation. The next conversation is bitch doesn't have any milk. Like, just is not right. Like, nope, not giving it up. You're right. Like milking a stone.
Right. And sometimes that happens, even if she's had a full term pregnancy, sometimes it happens if you do the C-section a day or two ahead of time. There are some lines of bitches that just don't have good lactation skills. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some things that you can do to prevent that. I will start them on metoclopramide. If I know it's a bitch line that doesn't lactate well, I'll start them on metoclopramide, which is Reglan, 2 or 3 days before they're due to whelp. I also give Oxymama, which is a Revival product, and have had very good success with that. In addition to that, she needs to drink, she needs to eat. Yeah. So if she's not drinking well, you can give her sub-Q fluids. You can mix a can of the Royal Canin or the Purina Starter Mousse with a wire whisk in her bucket of water to encourage her to drink. You can put chicken broth in her food. You can give her yogurt. You can give her ice cream. You can do anything that you can to get fluids into her. And honestly, bratwurst, the sausages, I don't know why, but if you cook them,
every time you say this, it makes me laugh.
I know.
So, okay.
But it works.
Cook your brats.
So you cook your brats, you pour the grease onto the dog food as well. And if it's a little bitch, she might get a brat, maybe a half a brat a day. If she's a little 4-pound dog, she's not going to eat 2 brats a day. If she's a Labrador, she can have 3 and not even miss a beat. And they are more than happy to eat that. And I don't know what there is about bratwurst to make them lactate better. There's not fenugreek in the spice mix. I know what goes into the spice mixes because I've looked at the labels. And I actually have a client that runs the company that sells the bratwurst seasoning to Cabela's and some of these other organizations. So I don't know what's in it, but it works. I don't know if it's the fat. I don't know if it's the salt. I don't know if it's the pork. I don't care. I just know that it works. So the first time I found this out was from one of my Newfoundland breeders, and she said, well, just feed bratwurst. So I looked at Dan and I said, okay, you need to run over to Huff's meat market and buy some brats. And he goes, oh, good. And I said, honey, they're for Miranda. Get over it. I said, buy twice as many as you want. Give half to Miranda. You give half. And even my vegetarian clients will, over a stove, unhappily cook the brats, but it makes that much of a difference that they will feed brats. They will have them pre-cooked, ready to go when the bitch walks in the door after her C-section. So it makes a big difference. So be proactive about this. Get them started on these things ahead of time because you're always going to play a little bit of catch up. And if you still have absolutely no milk, you can talk to your veterinarian about giving plasma to be a colostrum replacement. So that's another tool that you can use.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, you guys, the stunning Doberman Pinscher Penny has earned a spot in history as the best in show winner of the 150th Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show presented by Purina ProPlan. Penny, who is fed ProPlan Sport Performance 3020 chicken and rice formula, has also etched a place in ProPlan history as number 19 of the past 20 Westminster winners fed ProPlan dog food. In 2025, Penny was one of the 96 out of 100 top show dogs fed ProPlan dog food, the top choice of owners and handlers of show dogs. To learn more about ProPlan dog food fed to show champions like Westminster winner Penny, visit purina.com/ProPlan/dogs. The rankings noted above are based on Dog News Magazine's Top 100 Dogs AKC All Breed Competition and Reserve Bests in Show through 12/31/25. Like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk is here for you to make sense out of everyday things, to add nuance to your understanding, and tools to your tech box, to bring history to life and propel the living history of purebred dogs into the future. So, serious observation. What do you guys think I hear more often than crooked judges and professional handlers win everything? I hear a continuing cry for community. So, for folks who are looking to have meaningful conversation, avoid keyboard warriors, and join a welcoming and knowledgeable group, we offer you an option. forget about spilling the tea. Drink from a well of thoughtful and thought-provoking dog people. If you're a Dog Talk patron, support the work we do here by contributing to our crowdsourcing campaign. For as little as $10 a month, you can keep the MP3s rolling here at Pure Dog Talk. You can contribute to the future of purebred dogs by building the fortunes of the Marty and Laura show. You can gain access to a private Facebook group, private After Dark Zoom room, and private Laura Unleashed podcast episodes. Even your own Pure Dog Talk digital badge. Visit puredogtalk.com/patron to find out how you can join the best community in dogs. That was my next transition. Perfect timing, colostrum. And remind us, because I know we've all heard this, but when you're trying to do it, y'all need to write this down, man. Your plasma can be given orally for the first
12
hours. Yes. And after that, it should be given sub-Q, correct?
Correct. Or if it's a big enough puppy, it can go IV. But yeah, if you give it orally after the first 12 to 24 hours, it's going to be just digested as protein because the molecules are so big, they won't fit through the intestinal wall. So colostrum is made for a short period of time. Colostrum is absorbed for a short period of time. And plasma can be a substitution if you have sick puppies or a bitch that isn't lactating or a bitch that died, God forbid, any of those things happen, you can use plasma as a substitute. And it is available commercially as a frozen product. It's a much more convenient way to give it than if you try to collect your own and process it yourself, because there's a lot of nuances to it. But Animal Blood Resources, ABR in Michigan, will sell that to your veterinarian. It's good for 5 years in your freezer, so don't hesitate to get some from your vet. Keep it in your freezer. Have it available. Make sure that whoever cleans out your freezer doesn't not understand what it is and throw it away, because it's kind of expensive. But it's a wonderful tool to have available to you if you have a puppy that's sick or a puppies that did not get colostrum. So the dose is 16 cc's per puppy, regardless of the size of the puppy. It's just how much you can give at one time. Small puppies get smaller doses more frequently. Larger puppies can get a larger quantity. And if you're feeding it with a feeding tube, they won't drink it out of a bottle. You have to use it in a feeding tube if you're going to give it orally. Basically, stomach capacity is 1 cc per 1 pound of body weight per 16 ounces of body weight. So a 10-ounce puppy can handle 10 cc's. A 15-ounce puppy can handle 15 cc's, just as sort of an example of how much you can put down their stomach at a time.
Perfect. Okay, so more postpartum complications, aka things I wished I'd knew 30 years ago.
Right. Yeah, no. So let's talk about eclampsia.
Yes.
Eclampsia is a low calcium that causes the bitch to have what looks like a seizure. It's most common in small breed bitches with large litters. The first symptom is going to be she's going to start walking with this real stilted, stiff kind of goose-stepping gait. Mm-hmm. And then it can very quickly progress into something that looks like a seizure. And it's actually not a seizure. It's actually from the calcium being so low that her muscles become tetanic and she basically falls over on her side and looks like she's seizing. Temperature will go up. It's kind of a train wreck when it happens. Doesn't happen very often because people identify it pretty well. And as soon as you can get calcium into the bitch, injectable is always going to be the fastest. But to give it intravenously, you have to give it at your vet clinic, because if you give too much calcium IV too fast, you can stop their heart. So don't play around with IV calcium at home. This is something your vet needs to monitor EKGs when you're giving. But if you start to notice any symptoms that don't seem right, or if you have a bitch with a large litter at their peak growth phase, which is about 2 to 4 weeks of age, and they're not getting enough calcium in their food, just add extra calcium. The powder, the gel, the tablets, those are all great, but be proactive. If you have a little 10-pound bitch and she's got 7 giant puppies, put calcium in her food before it ever gets into the point of having eclampsia, because it's going to save you a lot of grief and a lot of money.
Right.
Calcium's cheap.
And I know we've said this possibly on every single podcast we've ever talked about whelping puppies, but as a reminder, no calcium in the bitch before the first puppy.
Correct. Yeah, as soon as she starts labor, you can give the gel, but you don't want to start it days ahead of time, because you will suppress her ability of her parathyroid gland to mobilize calcium out of her bones. So just don't do it. Don't do it during pregnancy. Don't do it until she's actually going into labor. And then it's a very effective tool, but given incorrectly, it's going to actually make you get into more trouble than it's going to prevent.
I'm super neurotic. I will not give her any calcium until the actual puppy is on the ground. Yeah.
Well, if she's starting to push, you're probably pretty safe to get the job.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the calcium. Eclampsia. What else in that first like 24 to 48 hours can we run into?
Metritis, which is an infection in the uterus. It can be related to a retained puppy or retained placenta, or it can be spontaneous. It can be that bacteria got in there. So if you're handling the bitch and you're trying to reach in and help her deliver puppies, please wear gloves. Don't do it barehanded. And if she is starting to run a fever and you think it's metritis or a retained placenta, call your vet, get in, get put on appropriate antibiotics and potentially something to help evacuate the uterus like prostaglandins. So don't wait. If she's running a fever, you need to go in, have the ultrasound done, see if that's what it is, or see if it's mastitis. And those two things can look similar enough at the very early stages. The milk may not look abnormal, the gland may not be abnormal, but she may be starting to run a fever even before mastitis is evident. So sometimes mastitis and metritis can be a little tricky to sort out. Now, both of them will respond to antibiotics, but the AVMA and the AKC is on the path of saying do not use antibiotics inappropriately. So that doesn't mean that you go to the cabinet and start your bitch on antibiotics. Right. Contact your veterinarian, get the right antibiotic, the right dose, the right thing. Don't just silly willy-nilly, well, I've got some leftover antibiotics from before, I'm just going to start her. Please don't do that.
And I will drop in the show notes. We did a whole podcast episode, a whole deep dive on is it metritis or mastitis. So I'll put the link to that particular episode in so that people, if they have questions on that. So metritis, mastitis is usually a couple further days down than metritis. Yeah. It's not usually day one.
Usually.
The mastitis.
Usually. But I just had a bitch that came in on New Year's Eve that had a C-section and 14 days post C-section was leaking what looked like pus out of her incision from her C-section. And it turned out it was mastitis. It wasn't the incision that got infected. It was mastitis leaking through the path of least resistance. So she had two glands that were infected. And it's kind of interesting because when you squeeze the nipple of the gland, one part of the nipple can have normal looking milk and one part can have abnormal looking milk out of the same gland. So look really carefully if you're looking. Squeeze each nipple with good lighting and take a good look and see if it's just part of the gland. It may not feel like the whole gland is hard and swollen yet, but that's the path you're heading down. So like I said, you know, talk to your vet, get the right antibiotic. And of course, mastitis and metritis, they need anti-inflammatories to bring down their fever. They need fluids so that you support them and they can continue to feed the puppies. And I don't take the puppies off of bitches that are on antibiotics and pain medication. I let them continue to nurse. I'm not the be-all and end-all to that. There are veterinarians who will take them off, but they don't get enough antibiotic through the milk to cause any harm to the puppies. I let them keep nursing.
And I know everybody has an opinion on this. I know I have my own opinion, but the mastitis, that gland, I do not let the puppies nurse that gland.
Right. You might want to express some milk out of it. And then you can put paper tape over the nipple just to keep them away from it. And if the puppies are 4 weeks old and you can wean them, great. Wean them and you can put them on cabergoline to help dry up the milk faster. Again, a prescription drug your veterinarian can help you with. But if they're old enough to wean, you can wean them. If they're younger than that and you want to keep them nursing, just try to keep them off of that particular gland. Yeah. On occasion, these glands will abscess open and drain through the skin. They can be pretty nasty. Most of the time, if you catch mastitis early, you can prevent that from happening. And I rarely, but on rare occasion, have had to take a gland off surgically because of an infection, a gland or two off. But those are pretty rare. I did one this summer, but I hadn't done one before that for probably 5 or 6 years. And we see a lot of pregnant dogs in our practice. So we're just really careful managing these dogs with anti-inflammatories and with the appropriate antibiotics.
And again, I'll drop the deep dive podcast on this. Mastitis prevention. Trim their little toenails.
And use probiotics and bath them before they have their puppies. So a good chlorhexidine bath 3 or 4 days before they whelp will reduce the chance of mastitis, and probiotics will as well. So be thoughtful about all this stuff. Don't take your dirty dog in for a C-section. Don't let her whelp without having a bath and be good and clean. don't take her out in the pasture and let her, you know, herd the sheep
while you're gummy cow pond. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just avoid those things that are triggers for mastitis. Even really clean bitches can still have it happen, but the probiotics seem to really significantly reduce it. And we do have probiotics that are appropriate for puppies. For the adult dogs, I like either the Fortiflora that Purina makes, the Royal Canin probiotic that just came to market, the Boularde, or the Reviable. I think those are probably the best probiotics on the market. But Revival now makes one called Nurture Flora for newborn puppies. Mm-hmm. It's intended to be used on the newborns. It comes in a tube as a paste. And I know there are people who talk about, if the puppies were born by C-section, I'm going to take a swab out of the bitch's vagina and put it in the puppy's mouth. I'm not a fan of that. They just think that that's going to help with their population or their flora that should be there. Use the Nurture Flora. Use something that was developed for that and not something that's unidentifiable on a swab that came out of an unknown safe zone of your female.
We might have to do yet another myth-busting one someday, Marty. Holy great.
Yeah. Start. Yeah, well, that's a thing that goes around. Mm-hmm. You know, these puppies don't get the right flora. Well, then help them out with Nurture Flora. Put the right
Nurture
thing in.
Flora much better than Hoo Hoo Flora. Holy Hoo Hoo.
I'm just telling you, that's...
I can't make this stuff up, Laura. Marty Blows Up Laura's Brain, episode 700 and billion.
I'm not making this up. This is stuff that's on the Facebook pages.
Not mine. Not Pure Dog Talk. That's why we have Pure Dog Talk people. So that you make good, smart choices with your puppies. Oh, my God. Okay.
All right.
Next, moving right along. Hoo Hoo Flora. Holy crap.
So, diarrhea. A lot of bitches end up with diarrhea.
Get me back on track here, Marty.
A lot of bitches end up with diarrhea. They ate too many placentas. They ate too much ice cream. They were stressed. They did this. They did that. You know, a lot of bitches have diarrhea. Yes. Again, the probiotics can help. A diet that's appropriate will help. It's not unusual for them to have diarrhea. Do not put them on antibiotics for that. Use something appropriate, pumpkin, rice, whatever it takes. But you do want to keep her eating. You do want to keep her drinking. Salt in the food can help her to drink a little bit better too. So if she wants to sit on the couch for 15 minutes and eat pretzels with you, I'm okay with that. Yeah, that's cool. And weight loss is really, really common in bitches when they're lactating as well. They need 2 to 4 times their normal amount of food intake. And that's another reason some of them have diarrhea, is you've doubled or quadrupled their food intake to keep them lactating. So that's not unusual. So perhaps use a diet that is less likely to cause diarrhea. Like the Royal Canin makes a German Shepherd puppy food that's very digestible, really good for their gut. Any of the intestinal diets are good for them. The probiotics are going to be helpful along those lines.
Proplan-sensitive skin and stomach.
Right. So just plan for some of those things, because she's probably going to have diarrhea. Reglan is, metoclopramide is going to contribute to that. So don't be shocked if she has diarrhea. Just be prepared and know how to respond to it. And then hair loss. Hair loss happens routinely in the bitches. There's a term for it. It's called postpartum effluvium. It just means all your hair flies out after you have puppies. It's hormonal. It's nutritional. I mean, they've put everything they have into their puppies, and growing hair is not a priority. Mm-hmm. So hair falls out. Hair doesn't grow in fast. So about the time that the puppies are ready to go home, your bitch looks like
a coyote.
Death warmed over. She's lost weight. She's lost her hair. And everybody says, well, I want to see the mom. And you're like, oh, please. I want to hide her because she's so embarrassing.
What if I show you a picture when she looked pretty?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a really common thing. It's a term for it. It doesn't mean she's got a thyroid problem or anything else. So don't go nuts. Just know that you're not going to enter her in a show anytime soon after she has puppies.
Yeah.
I just saw Sammy at the show yesterday that looks fantastic. But it took her about 4 months to grow her coat back. And now she looks great. But, you know, 2 weeks after she has puppies, she is not. Honest to God, I've had a client have a C-section with a singleton, load her dog into the motorhome, and drive to a dog show 1 day post C-section and show the bitch. Don't recommend that.
Please don't
do that. It's kind of a problem. And it's hard on the bitch. She's likely to bring something home.
Speaking as a handler, if your really important bitch has a litter of puppies because you're doing the right breeder thing and breeding her first and showing her later, do not leave the puppies to nurse until they're 8 weeks old.
No.
Then send the bitch to the handler the next day and expect her to win a big specialty. Just saying.
Yep. You're going to have to take a 6 months off, a year off. It's just life.
I mean, some bitches come back faster. We had a bitch that whelped in February that was back in the ring by May. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it can be done, but it's not necessarily the thing. So anyway, there you go. Postpartum stuff. Oh, I know there was one other one that we were going to talk about that I wanted to forget.
SIPs.
And bleeding. Two others.
Yes.
Okay. SIPs first.
It's all part of the same thing. It's normal for a bitch to have a bloody vaginal discharge for several days, C-section or not. Sometimes there's no blood at the C-section, and a day or two later, then you'll start to see blood as the cervix opens up. So blood is not unusual. It's called lochia. It turns from that bloody color to sort of a gray color to sort of a mucousy color over the course of a week to 10 days. If it smells bad, if she's running a fever, you have metritis or retained placenta, you need help. But then there's this condition called SIPS, which stands for subinvolution of placental sites. It's not like sipping out of a straw. It's subinvolution of placental sites. And this will happen oftentimes about 8 weeks after the puppies are born or she has a C-section. And it can be this really dramatic, bright red blood, sometimes mixed with mucus. And it'll be like the bitch feels fine. She's not running a fever. She's happy. She's nursing the puppies or the puppies are weaned. Everything's great. And then she'll stand up and this blob of this bright red blood will drop out of her vulva. And you're like, what is this? And when I saw it the first time, I didn't know what it was because I was a baby veterinarian, but now I know. And we don't see a lot of these, but we'll see a case or two a year. It's absolutely normal, most common in dogs that are just had their first litter. And it's the way the uterus is healing at the placental site. So subinvolution means how the placental sites are healing. So it's not unusual. It's not anything to get scared about. If they lose enough blood, you can put them on either megestrol acetate or luteolide, a prostaglandin. But I think I've treated one or two of these in 40 years with a drug because most of the time it's just a benign neglect thing. If you just pay attention to it, watch her color, make sure she doesn't get anemic. I so rarely see this. I mean, I did treat one for a physician because she was flipping out that the dog was going to become anemic. And I'm like, no, we've done blood work. It's okay. She said, treat her anyway. Okay, fine. We can do that. So megestrol acetate is a tablet or luteolide is an injectable. So those two drugs can be used, but again, they're prescription. You need to talk to your veterinarian. And it's not common to have anything severe enough to treat, usually just watching it, ignoring it, and it'll resolve on its own. And if you were to spay her, say 3 months after she had the puppies, you'll still see little green bands around the uterus because the dogs have a zonary placenta, a little band around, like an equator around their little belly. That's how their placenta is attached. So you'll see these little green stripes down the uterus and around in between normal. And that's just the way the uterus heals in a dog. So it's not anything to get alarmed about, but it is something if you are equipped to know what that is, you're not going to freak out and run to the emergency clinic on Saturday night and then have them hover over her with a scalpel because they think they should spay her. The answer is no. Don't spay them.
Everything's fine.
Fix them with a drug. And these are the drugs that you can use. And they're all written up in the book. So there's access to information if you need it.
Okay. Beautiful. All right. Everybody have a great week, month, new year. Marty, we appreciate your time as always.
Thanks for having me. Blew my brain up again. That's my goal every week, Laura.
And there it is. All right. Talk to you later, Marty.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, you guys. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to Laura at puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.